Praise the Lord. Last month we were talking about intercession and being intercessors. And you can look on the news and see that it's working.
Yes.
Everything is being changed. And we want to kind of continue with that, but I want to emphasize a little bit more. Remember I mentioned to you that we're in this special period of time. Been in the Bible all the time, but people just weren't seeing it. A place called peace and safety. Okay? And it's designed by God to bring, it'll actually bring in tribulation. Tribulation is brought in by the glory of God. See, usually when people teach on tribulation, it's like, well, God just finally gets mad enough and blows up and, I'm going to wipe you all off the earth and all of that. That's not what tribulation's about, because God is in the saving business. And God is wanting to manifest himself. He loves us. He loves people. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And so he wants everyone to have that opportunity. Now, as the glory of God comes in and gets stronger and stronger, and that'll be what we'll be talking mostly about tonight, is that the glory of God, the manifest presence of God, is going to get stronger and stronger. In the process, there will be many people born again, many people saved, but at the same time, there will be those who are against God who will not repent, and they'll get madder and madder and madder, and it's their being mad at God that finally triggers the tribulation, the 7 years. So, tribulation is actually the result of God pouring out his Spirit and people rejecting it, suffering the consequences of it. We're not interested in people suffering consequences.
No.
We're interested in people being saved.
That's right.
And you're going to have opportunities to lead people to Christ. It's going to be so easy compared to what it's been in the past. And to start conversations and be very natural about giving your testimony and giving scriptures. There's nothing worse than people, Christian, being uptight trying to witness to somebody. The neck muscle popping out. I want to tell you about Jesus, my wonderful Savior. We don't need that. We need people that are full of love, full of joy, full of peace. You know who you are. And you love what you have, and you want to share that with others. So that's kind of where we're going with all of this. That's kind of the introduction now. In Matthew 3:3, says, "For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And then we have Luke 1, which is basically the same thing, 76 and 79, referring to John the Baptist. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring, which is Jesus, from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So basically what he's saying is that there is tremendous darkness on the earth. Realizing at the time that John the Baptist began to minister, God hadn't spoken for 400 years. Think about that. Think back 400 years. If no one had heard from God in 400 years, what would what would it be like? But we're also a people sitting in a nation of great darkness. But the light has come. We just need to get the lights turned on. And my message for you today is we need to prepare the way of the Lord. We need to make, first of all, our lives adapted to His glory. God is going to come in great glory. More than likely, none of us sitting here right now are ready for that. We think we are. When Moses went up on the mountain, I'm sure the people, they saw him go up. They said, well, yep, there he goes. He's going to come back and he's going to tell us about God. They didn't expect his face to shine so much so that they had to put a mask on him. Because the glory, they'd known Moses all that time. And had Moses already been in God's presence? I think so, at the burning bush, right? And they knew him after the burning bush. So this was something greater than what they had experienced. See, the disciples walked with Jesus for a couple of years. And they saw the miracles and they saw all the wonderful things he did and heard him speak. And I mean, this is the Son of God. Yeah. Nice buddy that we have here. Well, that was fine until the Mount of Transfiguration. And then all of a sudden, they didn't even know how to talk. Peter didn't even know what to say. It was like, we weren't expecting this. See, the churches aren't ready for the glory of God to come in. There are some churches over in China, state churches, that God is just showing up and filling them with the Holy Spirit, and they're moving in gifts of the Spirit thing they never knew anything about. Now, in state churches, you have to have everything approved. That has to be pre-approved. So there are communists there that actually you turn your sermon over to them and they read it and pre-approve it before you're allowed to speak.
So they get saved.
Yeah. How would you like to be one of those communists when the glory of God shows up? Even the Christians don't even know how to handle it, let alone the communists. See, you understand what I'm saying? I've actually heard people in churches, I've been in church, and I've had people say to me, if God shows up, I'm out of here. In other words, we want to have church, we want it to be a nice church, but if God shows up, not me. I don't want to have anything to do with this manifest presence of God. See, there's a problem. God's going to show up. And we're going to have to deal with it. Okay? And the best thing to do is each one of us prepare ourselves for the coming glory of God. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Manifest yourself to me. Years ago, I was working at Black Hills and Bryson and pastoring at the same time. And, of course, I knew Jesus, born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, moving in the gifts of the Spirit, seeing great glory and great things happen. They had me work overtime sometimes. So I went in on a Saturday, and all I was doing was putting papers back into a file. And see, you don't have to have a lot of thinking to do that. And so I was just talking to God and filing my papers away. I had 8 hours to do that. And God showed up in the office where I was working. And he just asked me a question. He said, "Will you do whatever I ask you to do?" And of course, I was young, flippant. You know, "Well, sure, Lord. Tell me what you want me to do. I'll go do it." And pretty soon, after a few minutes, he said, "Will you do whatever I ask you to do?" There was a problem, though. He got closer than he was the time before. And I could hardly stand it. And then a few minutes later, he said, "Wayne, will you do whatever I ask you to do?" And I exited the office. I wasn't staying there another minute because it was just too much. I waited for things to cool down. I went back in and I said, "Yes, Lord, I will do my best to do what you asked me to do." Then miracle of all miracles, because this was back when you still had the old phone boards where you had to plug in. There was no one there to plug my extension in, and my phone rang, and it was a church over in Carthage. It was a Baptist church, but the whole church had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. God just showed up, and wow, everyone except the pastor, and he didn't believe in it. And so Friday night, sometime during the night, he packed a U-Haul trailer and left. And there was no one to preach. And so they were calling me to drive 200 miles and back, you know, to preach for them. And I did, and God showed up, and it was marvelous experience. Just the whole miracle of that phone ringing when it couldn't ring. It was impossible that a connection could be made. But I know I talked to somebody, and I showed up. The whole point being, yes, we say, "Yeah, I visit with God. I love to worship and be in His presence." But are we ready? Are we really ready for Him to come the way He's going to come? Now, we know during the millennium that He's going to come. But He wants you to know there's this period of time called peace and safety. And He's going to come. He's going to manifest Himself to individuals. He's going to manifest Himself through the governments. He's going to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And He's going to come in and He's going to make a radical difference. Okay? And all I'm saying, speaking in behalf of the Lord Jesus, get ready. Get ready. Okay. Isaiah 43:19. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." In other words, impossibilities. I'm going to do the impossible. So people are talking about, well, with the new government coming in, we're not going to be able to do much because it's just going to be the same old hassle. And God says, don't worry about that. They're not the ones doing it. The Lord Jesus is going to be the one doing it through individuals. I hope you're ready. I hope the church is ready for what God is doing right here and right now. Romans 2, verses 9 and 10. "Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." We're praising God. We did a lot of intercessory prayer because of the UN attacking Israel, and then the Paris group getting together. But praise God, the United Kingdom stood in the gap and stayed the hand of that. But even that isn't what matters. You see, God gave Israel that land. No one can take it. The UN can vote all they want, but they can't take it away. It's God's land, and it's God's people on the land. We need to stand with them in intercessory prayer. And we need to stand with our government in intercessory prayer. I'm interceding every morning and really doing hard work. Intercessory work is different than prayer. In prayer, we pray about things. Well, I pray about this. And Father, would you do this? And, Lord Jesus, would you do this? Intercession is totally different. You're actually speaking in God's behalf on the earth. And what you say will come to pass. Because it's God's words. See? And we're not just reading Bible and looking up verses to quote. That's not what I'm talking about. I get in God's presence every morning. And he tells me, okay, here's what we're doing today. And here's what I want you to speak on the earth. We don't know the power of all of this. I'll give you an example. The younger ones probably wouldn't know. But anybody ever heard of the Worldwide Church of God? Mm-hmm. Herbert W. Armstrong.
Yes, I have.
Garner Ted Armstrong. I was on my way to Quincy, Illinois. And so I don't even know what road I was on. I was out that way somewhere. And God spoke to me. And he said, I want you to speak against the Worldwide Church of God and totally undo it. This is a multi-million dollar religion all around the world. How could one person ever speak? I just obeyed. I remember I was crossing a bridge at the time. Whatever road I was on, I was crossing the bridge. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, I speak against you, Worldwide Church of God. You're contrary to everything Jesus stands for. And you're done for. Well, my mother-in-law was a part of the Worldwide Church of God. These reports began to come out. They burned all of Herbert W. Armstrong's books. They totally disbanded the thing. It just came to nothing. People nowadays wouldn't even know anything about it. That it ever was a very powerful religion on the earth.
Yeah.
When God is wanting to speak through you, we were talking about it earlier here, that you intercede as though you're the only one interceding about that one thing. Now, there may be thousands of you at the same time. God may speak to thousands to intercede about that one thing. But you take it on as though you are the only one interceding. And you speak it on the earth. It's God's word, and it will not return void. I have a lot of fun because I get to turn on the news and actually see that it came to pass. Whatever God has given me an assignment to speak, and I spoke it, it's actually come to pass. So, have fun. Okay, but it's going to be to the Jews and the Greeks, the Jews and the Gentiles. Now God's doing a mighty, mighty work among the Jews. In fact, there were 25 rabbis just recently got together and agreed that Jesus Christ is the Messiah.
Amen.
Yes. Keep your eye on Israel, because that will be the center of everything that happens on the earth. Everything. It all centers. And by the way, it centers in Jerusalem. I was so thankful when I heard Donald Trump say that we're moving the embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay. So we're praying. Matthew 6:10, I did this a while ago. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, we can't even imagine what it would look like if Jesus' kingdom came on earth and it looked exactly the way it did in heaven. Now, we know that, and we've taught it, you know, for many, many years. For instance, when God spoke to Moses to build the tabernacle out of skins, and he told him how to do everything. And what did he tell him? He said, you do it according to the pattern in heaven. Is there a tabernacle in heaven? Yes. Is there a temple in heaven? Is there an altar in heaven? See, we know there's an altar. We read of it in Hebrews. And Jesus, after he was crucified, came up and told Mary, don't touch me, I haven't yet ascended to the Father. He took his blood back to heaven and put it on the heavenly altar, we're told, for our sins. See? So anytime we can appeal to the blood of Jesus that's on the heavenly altar. So we're praying this. Your kingdom come. I pray it every morning. Like this, God gave me a song based on that scripture, and I sing it every day, play my guitar. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I hope maybe I can get it out where all of the church all over the world could sing that song. It's more of a kind of a prayer. It's kind of a chant. Okay, Revelation 21:5. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. These words are true and faithful. When we're interceding, we're speaking truth on the earth. We're setting truth in motion. Almost everything of the earth is deception. And after a while, you get tired of even hearing it, because you say, I don't believe a word of it. I don't believe a word of it. And it's right. What would happen if everything that was true came out? And everything that was a lie was exposed. You understand what I'm saying? Truth. Truth coming on the earth. So, truth. What if truth swept through the government?
Yes.
What if truth all of a sudden became the ultimate of all? And then everything that was a lie, would it be exposed by the truth? See, lies, darkness is exposed by light.
Yeah.
And so we don't need to be swatting at the darkness. We need to be bringing the glory of God, the light of God, in. And we do that by sharing the gospel with as many people as we can. Loving people, helping people, and letting the light shine, both through words and deeds. So he said, behold, I make all things new. Everything will be changed. Of course, driving up here today, some of you that drive Highway 65 quite a bit, there's some pretty raunchy looking little towns, isn't there? Hardly anything left that isn't falling down.
Yeah.
You know, and I often think about that. What if all of that was made new? All new buildings, all of that torn down and new buildings put up in their place. Mm-hmm. It will happen, folks.
Yeah.
It will happen. But people look at it and they don't even see it. They don't see that it's junk. I have friends that live in the midst of junk, but they don't know they live in the midst of junk. This is the way they've been their whole life. But he said, I'm going to make things new. Well, in order to do that, he's going to have to show us what new looks like. Because we don't know what new looks like. See? But it will be according to the pattern of heaven.
Wow.
Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul talking about some of these things. He said, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Jesus Christ is what is going to be revealing all of this to us. Okay? And Paul said, let go. Let the past be past. Let your past be past. Whether it's good or bad. You know, that's all behind. I hope God's keeping records because I'm not. I'm going to go on because there are greater things. There are greater things than what any of us have seen yet that's coming to pass. And quickly, by the way. And quickly. Okay, presence of the Holy Spirit. And when He comes, speaking of the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Okay, so at the same time, the glory of God is coming in, restoring the church, restoring life, restoring businesses. At the same time, He's going to be destroying. And sin will show up for sin. See, you can't convict people of sin by reading the law to them.
No.
You can say, it says right there, you know, don't speed. Now, speed limit 70 miles an hour, whatever. You know, and people really don't care. They can read, but they really don't care. What will make the difference is when the glory of God comes into the church and splatters all over the world. People will be instantly convicted of sin, not because they're told that something is sin, but because they've seen the glory of God. So the Holy Spirit is going to convict of sin and of righteousness. And of course, our nation has been going more and more and more into unrighteousness. And so one of the things I do every day is I say, I speak righteousness to the United States of America. Righteousness will stand. Righteousness will rule. And I speak righteousness. We have to have righteousness.
Yes.
If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. So we want righteousness. And I think I defined this for you before, but righteousness is meeting the demands of a relationship. Okay. So God met the demand. We were opposed to God. And so He sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. And in doing so, He took away my sin and replaced it with righteousness. Now I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And when the scripture says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes much available, I said, that's me. That's who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. But there's also a plural, which I've told you for years, of righteousness, which we would say in English, righteousnessness, which you can't say because it's not an English word, but in the Greek, it's plural. And it's how you treat your neighbor, how you love your enemies, how you treat one another, how husbands treat their wives, and wives their husbands, and parents, children, children, parents, and so forth. Anything that is a relationship is righteousness. And so we're meeting the demands of a relationship. Are we in any way related to the people, the gang people, who live in the ghettos? Nah, they live a long way away. None of my business.
Yes, it is.
You know, Jesus loves them. And Jesus wants to save them and fill them with His Spirit and give them good jobs.
Yes.
He wants to bless them. Fact is, He has a blessing and a calling for every one of them. He has a planned destiny for every one of them. And He wants to bring it to pass. And so I'm praying, and I'm believing. And every one of them, they have, not only do they have God's calling on their life, but they also have giftings that are natural talents. And these all need to be brought out. Can you imagine what the world would be like if all people were able to function at 100% of who God made them to be?
Yes.
What about all of the illegals that we have in America? Mostly they talk about the Mexicans, but there's more from all over. What if they became citizens of the United States of America that was blessed? Mm-hmm. And what if all of them started paying taxes? And no one else paid taxes, it would be enough to cover all health care for everyone at no cost. See, truth. I'm talking about truth. What if truth comes out?
Yes.
What if people actually give exact numbers? See. But they don't. Statistics are all twisted. See. I used to think, of course, I was in the Marine Corps and I was also in the Air Force. And so I understand military and all of that. But we had one person killed in war and it's all over the news. And sure, that's sad. That's, you know, we don't want anyone to die.
No.
What if the same people that did all of that as though we've got to get out of this war because we, you know, we had one person die. What if they reported how many of the military are killed by drunk drivers? Mm-hmm. We're just talking about truth here. What if they reported on a daily basis military people die from drunk drivers? What if they reported that? Oh, they don't want to do that. They don't want to report anything except what they want to report.
Mm-hmm.
See, what if truth prevailed in everything? What if truth prevailed in the health system? And every doctor was held accountable. And every druggist was held accountable. And every drug company was held accountable to truth. You'd really be able to afford health care then.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Righteousness. See, greed has ruled. Greed and more greed and more greed and more greed. And here comes Jesus, full of love, full of grace, full of mercy, wanting to help. He wants to help everyone. And he comes in his glory. And he said, I'm here to help. I'm here to help. And we can run around and tell people, Jesus wants to help. Jesus, how can I be his assistant in helping? Okay. Hebrews 12:27. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. The things that cannot be shaken. This has been demonstrated many times in actual shaking. Of course, in the Old Testament, every earthquake was understood to be a drawing near of God. Fact is, they actually counted their years, so many years from such and such an earthquake. The visitation. So every time God would visit the earth would actually physically shake. And for many times, like for the Hebrew children, after they came across the Red Sea, God did all the wonderful things for them, and they was against God and against Moses, the earth shook. It is actually opened up and swallowed 10,000 of them at one time. So there's going to be a shaking. I remember reading about the Alaska earthquake. Some of you remember that. The Christians' homes didn't even get shaken, and the dirt around them would be down 100 yards. And the house still standing. I've seen tornadoes go through a town and leave every Christian's house standing and take out everything else. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that, don't forget the so that. See, we can get caught up in the shaking, but it's so that which cannot be shaken may remain. That's what we're interested in. What's going to be left over after the shaking? Hallelujah. And how easy will it be to talk to people about Jesus then? Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. There's not the fear of the Lord that should be, even among Christians. But God will change that. His presence will change that. I know what it felt like to be in that office when God showed up. My spirit loved it, but my body couldn't take it. I've had some different kinds of experiences, but I'll share this one with you. I don't know if I was a Southern Baptist pastor. This was in 1966. And I had received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And they had called a meeting to excommunicate me from the Southern Baptist Convention. And some people got together to pray. Well, my car broke down, so I didn't get there on time. So they already started praying before I was able to get there. I know the Lord. I love the Lord. I love to pray. I cannot come in late on a prayer meeting. Too much of the presence is there already. I said, let me at least get acclimated. Now, back when I worked at Black Sills and Bryson, I would spend my day quoting scriptures, and I was an expediter, so I would walk. I'd make sure a lot of people got their jobs done. And so I'm praising God, and then I have time to sit down and read my Bible. And so, have a wonderful time in the Lord. And that was great until I came home. And I would come home, Jesse standing there with her Bible open, saying, guess what God showed me today? You know why I tell her? Shut up and sit down. I can't take it. Why? I couldn't get acclimated that quick. Was she wrong? No. I loved the fact she was in God's presence all day. You know, she didn't have to go out and work. I took care of that. So she could sit and read her Bible and pray and be on the phone with people and pray for people. And so she was having revival while I was working. And then I would get home. I could go, you know, get a shower and pray in the Spirit and come in, and we'd have real good fellowship. I'm just saying that when we think we're there, we're probably not. But we don't know that we're not until there's something greater comes along. People don't know that they're living in sin. A lot of these passing laws and doing all this stuff, well, we're just trying to help people. You know? It don't matter, you know, you're killing babies and all of that. You know, we're thinking about the people. What about when God shows up? Will they be able to do that? Absolutely not. Not because somebody says it's wrong, just because of the fear of the Lord. Yeah. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. The Holy Spirit's going to come and convict of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And hang on, folks. So everything is going to be gloriously different. If I just said, when Jesus comes, he's going to be different than what you expected. See, your mind could go anyway. But if I say, it's going to be gloriously different. In other words, the brightness of his presence, the glory of the Lord, the scripture says, is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. All over the world. And of course we know that in the midst of this, many of the, what we know as enemies, was it the Boko Haram of Africa that took all those schoolgirls and everything? Did you see on the news? And that's another one that I've been speaking against, and it said they've wiped them all out. There was just like a few left over, and they chased them down, killed them. And there's not a one of them left on the earth. ISIS is next. Taliban's next. You see what I'm saying? But God's given me a commission to pray for the leaders of ISIS to be born again, delivered from demons, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is actually showing up, meeting them face to face, and they're being born again. We can't send a missionary or an evangelist in, but Jesus can show up. Angels can show up. So keep praying, because we're going to see a lot of these. And the neat thing is, they're already preconditioned that life doesn't mean anything. You can't get a better Christian than that. Ask Saul of Tarsus. He didn't care whether he lived or died. Fact is, the prophet that came to him, that prophesied over him in Damascus, what was the prophecy? You know, you'd think it'd be some great thing. You're going to go all over the world proclaiming Jesus Christ is Lord. And, you know, but that wasn't the prophecy. What is Jesus? Jesus himself told the prophet to go tell Saul, tell him what great things he's going to suffer for my name's sake. How would you like to receive a prophecy like that? Cheer up! You're going to suffer great things. But you're going to be my witness. Hallelujah. Okay. Everything must be able to carry the weight of glory. We don't have musical instruments anywhere near ready to carry glorious heavenly music on the earth. Except our voices. That's all we have. But what's going to carry the glory? I see you've seen Chris's harp, haven't you?
Yes.
You've seen Chris's harp? Mm-hmm. How many of you have seen Chris's harp that he brought back from Israel? Yep. That'll carry the glory.
Right.
That'll carry the glory. And they're making more of them. Mm-hmm. Plus the temple harps. But we don't have harps. We don't have instruments. I think I shared with you one morning about 2 o'clock in the morning, God woke me up. And there was this lady walking down the center aisle of a church, and she was singing. And as she was singing, she was reaching out and touching people. And everyone she touched was changed. Now I realized it was an angel. Mm-hmm. But the melody was like, I've never heard anything like that in my life. And of course, Christmas time came, and I played the flute. So I'm playing Angels We Have Heard on High. I thought, that's not exactly the same, but that is so close to what I heard that angel sing. I thought, I'm going to go see who wrote that. You know who wrote it? No one else does either. But somebody heard Angels on High and recorded it on paper. We get to sing that. That's probably the closest we have to angelic music on the earth. Somebody heard Angels and recorded. Okay. But the church must be changed. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able, if you have a pencil, just underline that word able. Because most people I talk to don't think God can ever change the church. I just happen to believe God's able. God is able. And what is he able to do? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I love it. That in the Amplified Bible, it goes on to say, above all of our hopes, desires, prayers, hopes, or dreams, or something like that. No matter how high that you can think, God's going to do better than that in the church. To him be glory in the church. How? How will it come to pass? By Christ Jesus. To who? All generations. Forever and ever. Amen. Forever. Hallelujah. I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, if I'm a new creation, and you're a new creation, and that was impossible, is there anything impossible with God in the church? I don't think so. And I think we're going to see God do in his sovereignty, not according to what we think he's going to do. We're going to see him do exceedingly above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Okay, so he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He said, and I'm going to make all things new. I'm going to make you new. I'm going to make your town new. I'm going to make your town, wherever you're from, I'm going to make your town new. Say, well, can that happen? God is for business. God is against commerce. Commerce was started by Lucifer in heaven and brought to earth. Commerce is different than business in that commerce is to try to get people's money away from them without giving you anything in return. It's basically based on pride and greed. And if you read in the book of Ezekiel and you read in the book of Revelation, it says commerce is one of the things that will be destroyed when God, during the tribulation period. All religions will be destroyed. All governments will be destroyed. All armies will be destroyed. All commerce will be destroyed. But anyway, the commerce will be destroyed. It says they will weep and wail because the merchant ships are sinking and they're stuck in blood because the sea has turned into blood. Don't sound very good to me. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:18. You're very familiar with this verse. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we are all being changed from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. And that is with unveiled face. It's sad to say, but I go into so many churches and even the pastors have a veil on. It's like, oh, we don't want to go past this. No. Oh, no, no, that's, no, I don't want to see that. Don't tell me about that. No. And it's like they want to stay in the staleness of where they are. No. Not me. Rip that veil off. I want to see Jesus face to face. And I don't care what goes out of me. Mm-hmm. What's left is going to be good.
Yeah.
I don't care what sin he rips out, what preconceived notion gets ripped out, what theology gets ripped out. I don't care what gets ripped out, as long as what's left looks like Jesus. Amen? I want to be changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. What if we had churches that could carry the glory? What if we had individuals that could carry the glory of God? See, what would it all look like? What would the news media be like if they only reported good news? And so what if the news media gets changed by the glory of God?
Yes, we need that.
What if angels start showing up on camera while they're trying to... What's that 9-foot fellow doing there? He seems to have a glow on his face and he's smiling. Hebrews 12, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down, the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Now this is not just talking about healing. This is a whole concept of God. Kingdom of God concept. And he's saying, I can restore everything. There's nothing that I can't restore. Set your feet straight. Don't look and see how the other people are walking. You set your feet straight. You follow me. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I want holiness. God said, be holy for I am holy. That's the holiness we're talking about. See, Jesus said, I sanctified myself, which by the way is the same Greek word as holy. He said, I sanctified myself so I can sanctify you. In other words, I can bring you through, by sanctification into holiness. God wants us to be a holy people. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Mm-hmm.
What can man do to me? Of course, I'm thrilled to hear that coming out of Israel.
Yes. You know. Amen.
What can man do to me? I'm glad to hear Donald Trump say.
Yes.
What can man do to me? What can man do? By the way, a part of our intercession is for their protection.
Yes.
From assassination.
Yes.
So be interceding is very, very important.
Yes.
God is sending troops of angels plus people. That's going to be a constant protection around them.
Yes.
Because they're going to do everything they can to try to stop Jesus from being Lord of lords and King of kings. Hallelujah.
Yes,
you're going to see good things. You're going to see a lot of devastation too.
Yes.
Because there are people who will not accept it. And if you read the prophecy in the Old Testament, what's going to happen to those people is not pretty.
No.
Fact is, he said, I will destroy them. I will destroy them. Those who stand against Israel, I will destroy them. Those that stand against my son, my branch, I will destroy them. And so you're going to see everything that can be shaken being shaken. But that which cannot be shaken may remain. Are you ready? Hallelujah.